will, Father God, be hungry for all that you have. And Lord, I thank you for answers for each person who came tonight. You know, Father, the season they're in their life and what they need. And I thank you that through me, you might be a blessing to them and to help them, to give them answers for what they're in right now. And Lord, we worship and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you thankful for the truth? You know what the truth does? It sets us free, right? So again, I just encourage you, if you've never been here before, that you come back next week and listen to my husband. He's the senior pastor here and does a majority of the preaching. I just fill in for him when he's out periodically. And Carrie and Karen, thank you for doing a good job. Reverend Tony and Reverend Vanessa are out of town right now, so they're filling in for them. So let's open the word tonight, if you will. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And go to verse 24. And tonight we're going to talk about the word and the importance of the word in your life. And I don't mean just like, the word preached. I'm talking about the word that you open when you're at home by yourself and that you put into your heart, not just that you came on Saturday night or, you know, our Jamestown churches Sunday morning, not just that you came and heard the word. It's more than that even. That's a good start, and that's a place to get inspiration where to meditate in, and, you know, you can go home and look up those scriptures, and that's really important to do. And it's important to come and with a heart to receive. You know, the Bible says that you will receive to the measure what? That you hunger, that you have a desire for. And so we count this a very important time that we're going to hear from him. But you know that you're also supposed to study the word on your own. You're supposed to open your Bible every single day. Remember, the word said that it's our daily bread. Right? That we should be opening the word for ourselves every single day and finding out what does he want for us? What does he need us to know that day? You know, what thing would strengthen our faith? What thing would help our family? What thing would encourage us as a parent and a grandparent or maybe a student or, you know, we want to know something from the word, not just on Saturday night, but every single day. And we can. It's easy to do. So if you will, go over to Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24. And it says this, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so what we see here is they're talking about a house and a rock and how it's built. And this is an illustration for us because the house represents our life. And the rock represents Jesus and his word. And what they're saying in this illustration from the word is that if you'll build your life on the word of God, no matter what comes in life, your house will stand, your life will stand, you'll stand strong in Jesus. And if you build on any other thing, you know, there was an old song and it says, if you build on it, it's sinking sand, right? All else is sinking sand. Well, what else could we build on? You know, some people build their lives on finances or their career. And it's good to have, to be fully supplied financially, and it's right to have a good, solid career. But you can't build your life on it. It's just a part of your life. What your life is really built on is the word. And actually, your career and your finances are at the highest point and have the greatest success if you put the word first in that area, right? Your life could also be built on your kids. Have you known people who did that? That anything their kids want, they just did that, you know? Whether it was the plan of God or it wasn't, they built their life on their kids. that their kids came first. And I have two kids. I have two teenage boys. And, you know, my family is the most important thing outside knowing Jesus. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be valued and they shouldn't have a high priority in our life, but I can't build my life on everything my kids want to do or not do, right? I have to first and foremost know what the Bible says and stay with it. And, you know, as your kids get a little older, my kids are about to turn 16 and 18. And when they get to be that age, you do still tell them some things, but you mostly model to them, you know, what to do from the Word. What does the Word say? What are the things that we avoid because the Word says to avoid it, you know? And for example, you know, my husband and I have been tithers for many years. And you know, when our kids were growing up, when they got birthday money and all that kind of stuff, we would tithe for our kids. But, you know, now my kids have jobs and they work and they have, you know, money and from different things. And when they get that money, then I remind them, you know, don't forget. First, before anything, you tithe. Why? Because as young people, right, they don't want to tithe. You know, it's just kids in general, you know. And when you're younger and you're not making as much money, you know, it can seem like a huge chunk. Like, oh, dear, you know, if you only made $75 and, you know, you're going to put a portion of that in. And so your life can't be built on your kids. And we need to be strong in the Word so that our kids have a strong life. Right? That we're not pulled to what they want all the time. Your life could also be built on yourself. Have you noticed this? You know, in the time of like social media, where being an influencer never used to be a job where it is now. You know, people are on Instagram and YouTube and different things, TikTok and whatnot, and they're making money because they're influencing you to buy things that they say you need to buy, right? And so they're influencing people to purchase what they say, but their whole everything all day, all the time is based on them. You know, what they like, the products that look good on them, the products that are in their home, all their videos are about them. Well, that's a really dangerous thing, right? Because there's only one Lord, only one Savior, and He's it, right? Nothing else is to be our Lord. And also this, we're not to be anybody else's Lord, you know. Have you noticed sometimes that you live close to people and you're certain you know what they need to change? And if they would only ask, you could tell them exactly what needs rearranged, right? But we're not to do that. We're to trust God. It takes faith. When there's something in someone's life close to you that you know that they're doing that hurts them, or it's something that someone could make a change and their life would be so much better, it takes faith to go to God and to trust Him to help work that out than to try and wrangle somebody and control somebody. Controlling people is ungodly. It's a form of witchcraft. And to try and, you know, force someone into something, play mind games with someone that they do what you think they should do, or even that they do the Word. It could be even something right. But to try and to manipulate and to control. And sometimes women, because we're more sensitive to things, sometimes more sensitive to God, but just you have that maternal instinct. You kind of look over your family and you're always trying to keep everybody together and, you know, peace in the family and all those things. We're the ones who do the get-togethers and whatnot. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can use manipulation. And it's ungodly, right? Like people start to do things because out of not wanting to make us mad or not wanting to pay the price. It's like it's easier to do than deal with my mother's attitude or my sister's attitude or my whatever, you know, attitude. It's easier, so I just do it. But see, women, we can't do that. If we get something from the Lord, something good from Him, then what we do is draw them to Him when we're godly. But we don't try to force people to make the changes that we think they need to change, right? We're no one's Lord. I didn't, you know, hang on a cross for anybody. And besides that, do you know Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so our eyes are not even to be on us, and they're not to be on other people. They're to be on him. Have you noticed how much trouble you can get in life when your eyes are only on you, what you like, what you don't like, and, you know, what you think about a situation, how you have in your head how something should work out, you know, and when your life is about you, it's troubling. But also, when your life is about somebody else, it's also troubling. If we could just get and keep our attention on him, it would solve so many problems. And also, it takes humility to do that. And it takes faith. That when we get to a place, because see, we're working with the seen realm when we're working with people. But when we work with God, we work with the unseen realm. And it takes faith to trust he's working when we can't see it. And he is working when we can't see it. And when we can't feel it, right? And so let's just keep our eyes on him. And we all go through seasons where it's more challenging than others. Have you been through times where maybe you're tempted to fear over something? I have. I had that happen this week. And, you know, where something unsettling goes on. But what do we do in those moments? We don't look at us. Our answer doesn't come from us. And we don't look at other people because other people will fail us. But God never fails us. And he'll always help us. So many times before we even pray, we have to get our attention right that it's on him, not on us, not on them. Right? So our life could be built on simply ourselves. It can also be built on entertainment and media. You know, in this day and time, don't you know people who binge watch things? You know, they come home from work. Maybe you've done it yourself. You come home from work and you've had a hard day, so you feel the release to just, you know, sit down and watch, spend the rest of the evening watching TV. Well, that's going to be a real problem when the storms of life come. Because Matthew said, if we build on anything other than the word, what happens? That life crumbles, right? So watching TV isn't necessarily wrong, but if that's all we're doing every day and we don't have any time for the word, then it's a matter of, you know, priority. And so we don't want to build our life on that. Or even, you know, in this day and time, a lot of people want to, you know, stay home and just watch things on YouTube. YouTube's fine if you need to fix your car or, you know, you need some advice how to get a stain out of something or whatever. But, you know, you don't want to build your life on people you don't know. You don't know their credentials. You don't know their integrity. You don't know their qualifications. And to sit and just listen to people you don't even know, it can sometimes lead you down a wrong path. So let's build our life on the word, right? Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. In verse 19. Isaiah 59, 19. Now we're all in different seasons of life. We've all been through different things in life. And our futures, you know, we have a combined interest here in the house of God, but we'll all do different things in our future and with the Lord. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And then the enemy shall commit, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. See, that's the thing we all have in common, is that we're all going to face difficulty in life. And the outcome is determined on what we built on. Remember in Matthew? So regardless of our age, our gender, our upbringing, our experiences, different levels of education, we all face difficulties in life. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, what does the flood mean in this verse? It could mean a lot of different things. And I've have experienced some of these things, but when he's talking about when the enemy comes in like a flood, it can look different for different people. So it may look like this for you. It may look like marital trouble. You ever come across a season where you just don't see eye to eye? You just don't agree on things, you know? He wants to spend money on this. You want to spend money on that. You want to do this with the kids. He wants to do that with the kids. You know, you want to live here. He wants to live there. There's lots to agree on. And, you know, 1 Corinthians says, if you get married, you will have trouble in the flesh. And all the people who are not married are like, oh, that's not true. But they didn't read that section of the Bible, right? But you will have trouble in the flesh. It's just a matter of when. There will be a point of contention. I don't care how much you love the person. And because you're raised different. You know, we had our kids and they were little, and I found out things about my husband I did not know. And I was the one mostly that drove the kids, you know, around to school and play dates and all those kind of things. And he didn't want my kids to ride in the back row, you know, in case someone hit my car from behind or whatever. He wanted my kids to sit in the middle. And to me, I thought, that doesn't matter to me. I felt safe. I always commanded my angels every day. It wasn't an issue to me. And to me, it didn't make sense. But he wanted the kids to ride in the middle of the car. And I thought, okay, well, and what do? It can be a point of contention, right? You know, someone doesn't like to go to bed with dishes in the sink. The other person, they didn't even know the dishes were in the sink, you know? And shoes in the house, not shoes in the house, you know, all of these things. A lot of times women, we want to spend money on, you know, making the home better, making the home nicer, and the men all think, well, it's fine enough. I didn't even notice anything needed to be done, you know? So there are times where you might have contention in your marriage, and it could be for a season, so the enemy may come in like a flood in that area. It could be this, things in your body. Have you ever gone through difficulty in your body? Where there was a season where you're like, oh, you know, it was intense. There were a few things in my life that I faced in my body, and it took a couple years to get past those things, and you have to continue to trust the Lord, right? The enemy comes in to attack your body. Or how about your mental health? Have you ever had that attacked? If you've had a baby, you've gone through menopause, any of those things, it tries to affect your head, right? And you have to use your faith and wisdom, you know, because your body is changing. Or how about depression or oppression? You know, some people are just going through season of feeling like, you know, things are never going to get better. It's hopeless situation. You know, it's been this way so long. You know, that's the enemy coming in like a flood. It could be a family situation, not just a marriage situation. It could be a season. Have you had a time where you were just distracted all the time? That's the enemy coming in like a flood, because he does not want you faithful in the house of God, spending time with him in prayer and reading your Bible. So it could even be that. And so there are lots of different things where the enemy comes in like a flood. And we're going to talk tonight about what do you do in those times. And I think you can guess from the topic that we need to continually be putting the word into our heart, putting the word into our heart so that we're strong when these times come. Now, there are some young people here, and you may not remember this, but most of us, I think, in the room can remember in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit the United States. I think most of you can remember that. And remember that New Orleans was hit the hardest. And when Hurricane Katrina came, the storm was pretty sizable, but the Army Corps of Engineers did a study, and what they found out was the problem really wasn't so much the amount of water or the storm, although it was significant, but it was that the foundation of the levee walls was poor. It was weak, and it wasn't as deep as it should have been. And because of a weak and shallow foundation, the floodwaters came in and filled up New Orleans, and much of that city was underwater. And that city is already below sea level, so it kind of sits like a bowl anyways. But it was dependent on that, on the foundation of that levee wall to keep the floodwaters out. And that's the picture of our life, that actually we need a strong foundation in our life of the Word. And if we have a strong foundation of the Word, no matter the storms, no matter how high the waters rise, the strong foundation of the Word will hold those things back. It doesn't necessarily prevent them from coming, but it prevents it from wrecking your life. It prevents it from stealing from you, from robbing from you. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, when we read those scriptures, it doesn't say that the Word prevented the storms from coming. The person who was strong in the Word and who wasn't both experienced the storms. But it's what happened in the end that was determined by how much they knew the Word. And I'm not talking about how much they memorized the Word. Because we can know Bible stories, and we can know where Scripture is in the Word, and we can even have memorized Scriptures, but really that's kind of a surface level of knowing the Word. I know someone who has a lot of Bible information in their head. They know a lot of Bible information. But they don't really know and have personal revelation of the Word. They don't do much of the Word, right? That they have maybe the theology down, but there isn't a strong foundation of the Word in their heart in the sense that they truly know God through the Word. They really just know the information of the Bible, and there is a difference. And so what we want to do, and I'm going to help you know how to do this, is to get to the place where we have the Word in us, that it changes and affects our day-to-day life. It's not just that I can rehearse to you where a Bible verse is. That's valuable information. But that's really just skimming the Word. You know, we can all just kind of memorize a scripture, and that's a good start. But have you ever gone through something and you found a verse and it just spoke to your heart? And you prayed that verse, and you worshiped God for that verse, and you asked him for revelation, and he showed you how it applied to your life, and you just clung to that verse, and then it saw you through to the other side, and you came out with a good report. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it means to build your life upon the Word. It's not just that, you know, you went to Sunday school and you know the story of Jonah and, you know, some basic Bible information. It's that when the storms of life come, you go, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn to the Word, and he's going to give me the answers that I need. And everything we need for life and godliness, the Bible says, is in the Word. Everything we need for life and godliness. So why don't we go over here to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Aren't you thankful for the Word? Where would we be without the truth of the Word? And remember, the Bible says it's the truth that makes us free, right? If there's any area in which we're struggling, what we really need is more truth. And not just memorized truth, but God speaking to us. I had this revelation given to me. Many of us remember Atari, but Pac-Man isn't just on Atari. There are other game consoles that it's on, but remember, you know, Atari, and when the game opens and the screen is on there, there's like these little, in each of the four corners, there's a little tablet, and it's kind of lit up, and it's blinking, and then Pac-Man's in the middle, and then it has all these you know, little ghosts or ghouls or something around, and the ghosts and the ghouls are trying to eat Pac-Man or touch Pac-Man, you know, get to him. But if he can just get to the light, he puts them on the run. And the Lord gave me the illustration that of the game of Pac-Man, that first, we'll say those ghosts represent the enemy, had Pac-Man on the run. But once he ate the light, the thing that was after him, he went after, and he consumed it, and he took it over. And the Bible says that the Word is the light. He is the light. So if we can just get more and more light on the inside, what does that mean? Revelation of the Word, a personal knowing of the Word. And when that happens, the thing that used to try to scare us, the thing that used to try to intimidate us, the thing that we used to kind of shudder from, situations that we used to kind of be afraid of, then we can face them with confidence because we have the word in us. We know what to do, right? Anyone, as a believer, did you ever go to the doctor and you went unsure, right? Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't really know, you know, what I need to do in this situation. And you would feel like a little apprehensive about having to talk about all the things going on. And, you know, the trial itself in your body was unnerving. And then the more you meditated in the word and the stronger you became in the word, you faced it that, okay, I know what I'm going to do now. And you had a definite direction about what you were going to do in your body, whether it was have a procedure or take a medication or maybe come off a medication or, you know, whatever the Lord wanted you to do. As long as you did that, it brought strength and health to your body. And so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. And then verse 14 too. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And so we see that there are different measures of the word in our life. You know, when is it in your lifetime that you drink milk as a sustenance? When is it in your lifetime that you are sustained by milk? It's when you're a baby, right? But, you know, those baby food meats are they're pretty disgusting, right? But your kids get to be a toddler age and you start feeding them some meat. Now, you didn't put a steak down in front of them, but that meat was ground up and you gave them the meat. But it was only when they got a little older. And, you know, when we eat meat versus drinking milk, meat requires some eating. Meat or milk you just drank down, right? And the same thing is true with the word, that you can come and just listen to a service, you know, on Saturday night, and you can just kind of memorize a few scriptures, and that's really just kind of the milk of the word. But when you go home and you open up the Bible and you read a verse and you turn to God and you say, Lord, show me what this means for my life. And then you go back to it and you pray it and you thank God for it. And you ask him to show you how to do that verse today. And, you know, it may be from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you read about how one of the fruits of the Spirit is being good. And you say, Lord, I see that one of your attributes is goodness. And I want to be a doer of the word today. Who can I sow goodness to today? Show me who to be good to. Do you know one small act of kindness can change a person's day, a season that they're going through, that they'll not just think about and experience it in that moment, but sometimes days and weeks and months afterwards. Has that ever happened to you? Where someone, you're just going through something difficult and someone just said something really nice to you or did something nice for you and you couldn't stop thinking about it. Why? Because it came from God himself. Just as you simply meditated in the word, he showed you how to do it. But this takes humility because we have to go to him and tell him, Lord, I don't know what to do on my own. I need the word of God in my life, right? It's that we submit to the word. And you know, not everyone does that. Not all believers do. But we can go to him when we're praying and when we're reading our Bible and say, God, everything in here I will do. And did you ever get to a portion of scripture and dear God, it challenged you? Because some portions of scripture are easier to do than others. And did you ever, if you're struggling, what scriptures should I start with? I highly recommend three different portions of scripture, four really. And I say it all the time. I think almost every time I minister. But begin to look into and pray Ephesians 1. Verses 17 to 23, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14, and then the love scriptures, which would be 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and the Amplified Classic. Because the Amplified Classic doesn't let you get away with as much as King James. King James doesn't have much wording in there, and you get into the Classic, and you're like, oh, God. But you read those verses and it says, love is patient, love is kind. And you're stuck there, you can't even read anymore because you have to do that first, right? And you're like, I can do this. I can face my husband and my children and the world and be patient and kind. And then did you ever get, you know, later in the day and you weren't so patient and kind, even though you meditated on it in the morning and you prayed it and you worshiped God? You feel real holy in your room by yourself with your Bible and God. And you feel like, I can do it all. I can do every part of this verse. And then you go run into people and do none of it, right? We do. But then what happens when you don't do it, what you know? Condemnation. Because if the devil can't get you in pride, thinking you don't need to do it, they need to do it, right? Like, I don't need to be patient and kind, they need to be patient and kind. So if he can't get you in pride and keep you from doing the word, what he does is he condemns you when you attempt to do it and failed. Did you ever have that? I have had that happen to me many times. And you know what I do? I go to the Lord and say, Lord, your blood and the sacrifice you made in your body was greater than the mistake I made. And I thank you that in your blood and in your body, you purchased full redemption for me. And now I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And that you refuse, we go back to Hebrews 12:2, we refuse to rehearse the mistakes that we've made. Because we're going to make them. I've made them this week. And the enemy comes to try and hold your feet to the fire and put you down and get you in fear and, you know, talk negative to you and all those things. And you know what we do? We shake that off. That no, the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He took condemnation as much as he took sickness and poverty and lack and all the other ugly things in this life. He took condemnation as much as he took that. So when you step out in faith, and when you're at home by yourself and you just got done reading your Bible, you feel so assured of yourself and your ability. And then you get out and you meet people and you find my flesh is weaker than I thought, you know. But it's okay. And what we do is we go back to the Lord, we confess our fault, we ask him to help us, we meditate in that verse again, and the next day we face it and we apply it again. And if you meditate in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 in the Amplified Classic, you ask the Lord, how does this apply to my life? How can I do this word? And also remember this, John 14:26 in the Amplified Classic says one of his descriptions is helper. And he will not just help you in a difficulty, he'll help you do the word. He'll help you to understand the word. And sometimes when I go to read my Bible and I open it up to the portion I'm going to meditate in, and it could be a particular chapter, it might just be a topic, and I'm looking at all kinds of different verses, and I say, thank you, Father. This is how I pray over the word. I thank you, Father. I come to you in faith today, and I'm here to receive your help. I'm here to receive revelation from the word. Help me to know what to do from the word today. Make it clear to me how I can apply it to my life, and help me to apply it to my life. He'll help you be a doer of the word. You're not left to just like trying hard. Because did you ever try hard and you failed miserably? Right? But if we do it with him, the Bible says we're workers together with him. And not in ministry only. In life. As believers, we should be inviting him in, asking him to walk with us in every single thing we do. If you're a student, ask him to help you. If you're a mother, ask him to help you. You know those verses in Ephesians and in Colossians that I gave you to pray? It says that you would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. That doesn't just mean you understand the Bible. It means you understand people. You understand relationships. You understand what irks your husband and you no longer do it. You understand what helps your kids grow spiritually and add to that. He'll give you understanding about life, not just like deep things from the word, although he will give you that, but he'll help you to have a more successful,
settled life. But we ask him. Let's ask him for that. Father, today I come to you as I open my Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. I thank you. You reveal things to me from this word today. Show me the portion that I can do. Help me to know. And I want you to know, he might not tell you right then while you're reading your Bible and you're praying over your word. He might just show you while you're in the grocery store that you see someone and you think, I need to tell them how nice those earrings look on them. You think, well, that's not much. That's not working together with God. You don't know. Something like that could totally change a person's day. You know, I think everybody knows who Billy Graham is. And he said, one encouraging word can save a marriage. So maybe it's just an encouraging word to somebody. Maybe you buy somebody's lunch or their coffee in the Tim Hortons line or whatever it is. He'll show you. So if you don't hear anything while you're reading your Bible right then and you're, you know, praying over your Bible at that moment, it's okay. Go about your day in faith. He'll show you. He'll help you know what to do. Okay. Now, James chapter 1, verse 25 in the Amplified Classic. Do we have that back there, you guys? I really like the Amplified Classic. I have this mini one that I've had for 23 years. And I carry it around in my purse, and I absolutely love it. It's just the New Testament. But I really like the wording of the Amplified Classic. If you could go to James chapter 1, verse 25 in the Amplified Classic. And it says, he who looks carefully into the faultless law. What is that? The Bible, right? The law of liberty. It's the Bible. He who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it. You know, we want God to be faithful to us, but are we faithful to the word? What does that mean? Every day we open it. We ask him to speak to us, and then we speak to him. God, I'm struggling in the area of self-control. Help me know you more in that area. Help me know some verses more in that area. You know, you can talk to him. And persevere in looking into it. So what does that mean? Obviously, there's going to be some opposition to looking into it. And what would that be? Your flesh. We want to spend our time on us. And also, did you know quietness before the Lord is a lost art? Waiting on him is a lost art. Because it takes patience and faith to receive from him and from his word. Not just in a service, at home in your prayer closet, at home where you read your Bible. So the word says here in James 1:25, persevere in looking into the word. There's so much that begs to be looked at in this day and age. Have you noticed that? I mean, it is such an addiction. A minister friend of ours said that there was a recent study and that people now have an attention span of like 8 seconds, which is less than a goldfish. And where does that come from? Commercials are so fast, right? And things don't come up on your phone the minute you hit the button and you're like, what's wrong with this thing? You know, and you're Xing out and trying to go back in. And, you know, social media, it's so fast. You can just scan and click and swipe and all these things. And our brains get used to it. And then we go to sit down with a book. We go to sit down with the word. And our brains do not like that. And our flesh does not like that. And we want it to be quick, right? And so we have to persevere by looking in the word because our flesh resists it. Our flesh wants it to be quick. And one time, you know, also we've gotten in this day and age where if someone texts you, you feel like you have to answer within a few minutes, right? That you have to respond right away. And I was sitting down and I had opened my Bible and I was reading the word and I was talking to the Lord and someone texted me and then I picked it up and I, you know, answered it and put it back down and went back to studying my word. And a few minutes later, same thing happened. I get a message and I answered it. And I sensed the displeasure of the Lord. That what I'm saying and what I said is so small to you that it's interrupted with a text. And, you know, Matthew 6 says to go in your prayer closet and shut the door, right? Shut everything else out. And you think, well, I don't have a problem with that until you try to do it. set aside 15 minutes with you and the Lord and your Bible, and you will be shocked how your flesh reacts to it, that it just itches to get up and do something. You've never been so thirsty in your life. You've never been so hungry in your life. You never wanted to do the laundry so bad in your life. All kind of things. You despised answering your emails till it was time to study and pray, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I have time for that right now. And so, but on purpose, Lord, help me to keep my body under. To keep my body under. And we need to keep our body under in other ways, you know, what we eat and what we put into it and all of those things, sexual things, keep our body under, keep ourselves pure in that area. Not wearing ourselves out, wearing ourselves thin, you know, doing too much when we know we shouldn't and all of that. But also, first and foremost, Lord, help me keep my body under to sit here and meditate in the Word. Your flesh doesn't like it because our world is so fast-paced, but I promise if you do it, it will lead to such a wonderful life. And, you know, if you'll pray the prayers that I gave you at the beginning from Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Corinthians, if you'll meditate in those verses, you'll pray those verses, you'll spend time in the Word, you'll begin to notice, maybe your whole life didn't get rearranged in a couple months, but you'll start to notice, wait a second, when that person used to say that, it always just irked me, and I'd think about it the rest of the day, and now you know what? It didn't even bother me. And it could be something real small like that. That is called spiritual growth. And it doesn't just happen because we showed up for an hour on Saturday. It happens because we spend time with Him. And what is spending time with Him? With His Word. You know, the Bible says He's the rock of all ages, right? Spend a little time with the rock, and you'll be so much stronger. And the things that will come in life won't move you like they used to. When you get reports or somebody is snotty to you at work, you know, the Word is for the day-to-day life, right? And so when someone's snotty at work, you remember, no, I used to respond a certain way. I'm not responding like that anymore. He said, be patient and kind, and I'm going to do that today. And so you'll begin to notice little changes about yourself. And don't get discouraged that, oh, my whole life didn't get changed. Rejoice over the change that you see. And thank Him for it, because you didn't get it there by yourself, right? I want to share this with you. I wouldn't finish reading the verse. Okay, so persevere looking into it. Do not just be a heedless listener. See, no one's going to know that but you, you and the Lord. Did you just listen to the Word? Because it isn't the listener who's strong. It isn't the listener who's blessed. It's the one who does the thing they listen. And if he's an active doer who obeys, it's very important to obey, not just the parts we like and that are easy on our flesh, but all the parts of the Word. Then we're blessed in our doing and our life of obedience. Okay, so let's go over here, if you will, to Psalm 119:105. Aren't you thankful for the Word? It's so valuable. There's nothing more precious than the Word of God. We just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of this church, and then the 20-year anniversary of my husband pastoring at the Jamestown Church. So my kids have been going to church every day that we've had church their whole lives. Sunday school, they're there. Midweek, they're there. Special services, they're there. If there's church, they're there. They serve at the church. And but I'd tell my kids all the time when we were going to church, honey, I want you to know your life is not blessed because your mommy and daddy are pastors. Your life is blessed because you do the Word. Right. It's not just coming like every week, you know, and taking it for granted and week in and week out, just I showed up sitting in a chair. That's not the blessing. That's not the good life. The most important thing you can do in your life is to put the Word in you. It's the most important thing. And I tell that to my kids now, even though we've been in the ministry all these years. So Psalm 119:105. And then, you know, I don't just tell them that. I model it. that my kids see my me reading my Bible all the time. And I don't mean that pridefully, but, you know, we have to do what we tell our kids to do, right? And so that they see me putting that to practice. So Psalm 119:105 says, "The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, the more word you have in your life, the more light you're going to have. The more you're going to know what to do. The more when a dark situation comes, you can turn to the word, shine the light on that dark situation, okay? Now, I just want to share a couple thoughts with you, and it's this. One is, a lot of frustration in life happens when our word level is low. A lot of frustration. Because when things come, what we do is we answer it with the word. And then you have confidence in that situation, okay? The word will help you put your flesh down or put your flesh under, right? Keep your foot on your flesh. Also, if the word level is low, it allows other things to dominate. Have you noticed that? Impatience allows impatience to dominate. You know, bad attitudes. It's not just our kids that have bad attitudes, right? Have you ever noticed? And actually, this happened to me earlier in the week. I was doing a lot of things because Tim wasn't in town, and then it got to be late at night, and my kids got home. They were out watching a hockey game, and they got home kind of late, and I was already in bed, but I wasn't sleeping. And then they were talking about something happening the next day, and I got impatient with one of my kids, and I got upset, and I said to him, "Honey, I'm sorry. I should not have been upset about that, and I ask you to forgive me." If we miss it, just admit it to our kids. Ask them to forgive us, you know. We're human too, and we may need to make some adjustments. Okay. Now, why don't you go with me to 2 Peter 1, and we'll close here in just a minute. 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." I mean, did you ever come to church and think, "Oh, I wish someone would just lay hands on me and give me a word"? Well, he did. He gave you the word. And the Bible says that's even more important. As long as you take heed to it and shine in a light that would shine in a dark place until the day would dawn and the day star arises in your hearts. And so what happens is when you're going through a dark time in your life, shine the light. And what that looks like is taking the word and saying the word, praying the word over and about that situation, that person, that circumstance, that thing that tries to come against your body. And can I say this? We can't just pray. We can't just study the Bible and pray and think things will work out. He's going to give us things to do and things not to do. For myself, when Michael was, he was real young, maybe like a year, I started having some trouble in my body. I'd had my kids pretty close together. They're less than 2 years apart. And I had boys, and they're very active. And so, you know, you go through two pregnancies and recoveries and all that, then chasing two kids under the age of two. And by the way, we broke ground on a building, and my husband was gone all the time at a building program. And I really just wore myself out. So I started to have symptoms in my body, and turned out I had, affected my thyroid. I had an issue with my thyroid, and it was very overactive, and it caused all the functions in my whole body to go on fast forward. I mean, my heart, you know, my digestion, everything was just on fast forward. And I was absolutely exhausted. And I remember sitting on my couch in the living room, and I wanted a drink across the room because my living room's open in my kitchen. And I was looking at the sink, and I did not have the energy to get to the sink and get a drink of water. And so I was using my faith and not getting any better. So I went to the doctor, because that's the wise thing to do, even as a believer. If you're not getting better, go to the doctor. And so I went to the doctor. They said what was going on, and they said, "You need to take this medication, and you'll be on it for the rest of your life." Well, I really needed some relief from the symptoms so my faith could work, because the symptoms were so loud, I couldn't focus on the word. I couldn't focus on prayer. I needed a little bit of relief. So I took the medication for a short time, But the whole time I was on the medication, I was using my faith for my hormone levels and my thyroid antibody levels and all my thyroid to function normally and all these things. But I didn't just pray and confess the word. I actually made the changes they told me to make. You know, like sleep at night and eat well and, you know, exercise a little and all these things. So we can't just pray and we can't just read the Bible. We have to do the practical things. If he says to rest, we have to rest. If he says to eat this, then eat that. If he says don't eat that, then don't eat that. It could even be drinks. You know, I know someone dealing with something in their body, I won't say that. But we can be careful about the things that we drink, even. They can affect our bodies, right? You know, just different things, caffeine and pop and energy drinks and all of those things. So when you have something in your heart that you know you need to make a change on, you can't just override that with prayer. You can't just override that with confessing the word more. We actually have to do it, right? And so we need to apply these things practically. And he'll give you things to do. Okay. Now let's look at one last scripture and then we'll close. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. We're going to be doers of the word. If you don't know where to start, start with those verses I mentioned at the beginning, okay? I have noticed such a huge change in my life praying those verses. I mean, more change than any other verses I've prayed. And if you'll stick with it, remember, persevere in the word, it will make a difference. In Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, can you have that? Okay, King James, good. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And go to verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So if in these things, let's say, have you ever been in a difficult place in your life and it was your own fault? That's almost worse, right? Like I told you about the situation with my thyroid. Yes, there was a taxing on my body from having the kids so close together, but also, I mean, I was just doing stuff all the time and wearing myself thin. And so I could have helped myself in those things. But when you should have done something and you didn't, there's grace for it. The Bible says, yes, sin abounds. And if we do anything against the Lord and out of faith, it is sin. But if we have missed it, then what we do is we go and receive grace. You know, Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain grace and mercy to help in your time of need. Father, I thank you. Even though I missed it, your grace is greater. Your grace is greater than me missing it. And I receive your grace regarding that mistake. And I thank you for forgiveness. So we don't have to beat ourselves up because sometimes we're harder on ourselves than anybody else, right? So let's look into the word. Let's pray the word. Let's thank him for the word. Let's ask him how we can apply it to our lives. And let's persevere doing it every single day. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that the first step in knowing you is being born again. The way the Bible makes sense is that we first have the Spirit of God living on the inside. So if there's anyone here tonight and you're not sure if you have Jesus in your heart, there are many believers in this room and we would all like to pray together with you. I just ask if there's anyone here and you're not sure if you were to pass from this life, if you would go to heaven, we'd like to pray a prayer with you. We'd like to invite you to know Jesus, to know him personally as your Lord and Savior. And I just ask if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that you're not sure if you departed this earth today that you would go to heaven and you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior. If you could just raise your hand, we will all pray together with you. Is there anyone here that would like to know Jesus? Like to take him in their heart as Lord and Savior? We'll all pray together with you. We won't bring you down front. This is between you and him. Is there anyone that would like to know him? It's the best decision you can make. Is there anyone here that you've known God, but maybe you've walked away from Him? You've lost fellowship with Him. You stopped coming to church. Maybe you've lived a life of sin, and you'd like to come back into fellowship with Him. Is there anyone here that would like to rededicate their life to the Lord? That's an important decision as well. Anyone that wants to recommit? I see that hand. Anyone else? Well, let's all pray this prayer together. Because it's important to always rededicate our lives. Let's come before Him in prayer. Say, Dear Father, I thank You that Your grace is greater than any sin. I thank You, Father, for a renewed fellowship with You. I thank You, Lord, that You help me to persevere looking in the Word. And I'll live for You more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me to your feet? Aren't you thankful for the Word? It's the truth that sets us free. Amen. Father, we worship You tonight. I thank You and trust You, Father, for the Word You've sown into our hearts. I thank You, Father, in the coming days, You would quicken to those who are here the things they heard tonight, that they might have a closer relationship with You, a stronger foundation of the Word in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.